the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you are, welcome to Midnight in the Desert. Every single time zone around the world covered like a blanket by this program. I'm Art Bell, and it's great to be here tonight. Really great to be here tonight. Thought I wasn't going to be here tonight, actually. And I'm not all here tonight. If you follow me, I spent the afternoon pretty much following a very nice guy from LV.net around. And you know what it was? It was a wire. It was a wire. After changing about 30 plugs back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, new equipment here, new equipment there, in the end, like I always thought, it was a wire. All right, so we have two rules for this program, no bad language, and only one call per show. And that's the totality of our rules. When I get done with that, I always throw it on the floor. It's all the rules. I was in a pretty bad mood, actually, until... I really love this. Somebody named Tiger Lily from Belgab, those vaguely lovable people over there. I do have to thank people, don't I? So I might as well do that. Telos, Joe Talbot, thank you. Keith Rowland, my webmaster, thank you. Heather Wade, my producer, a big thank you. Stream Guys, of course, LV.net, really big thank you. Sales, Pete Eberhardt, TuneIn Radio, and Leo Ashcraft, Dark Matter News. Anyway, I got this mood enhancer from Belgab. Some gal named Tiger Lily wrote, please meet a group of glorious fangirls from Belgab. Because you mentioned a cult for you, we formed the Vestal Virgins of the Dark, a.k.a. Arts Tarts. We post your praises, herd trolls, and do some female bonding. Would love a shout-out from you. You get it. I read that, and if that doesn't cause you to laugh, nothing will. So, thank you. I really did get a laugh on that. You know, just when I needed it. So last night's show was a little buffering, right? And other than that, though, it was scary as hell. Dr. Jacobs. And that one actually scared me. And I don't scare easily. I really don't, but that one scared me. Well, shadow guys scare me. But that one scared me. And I've been wondering, his talk of hybrids, hubrids. If the human race were being invaded, would we even know it? And the answer to that is probably not, right? I would say the answer is probably not. Well, the day was all about the Pope. CNN did nothing but Pope-to-Pope coverage. And it was good. It really was good, and it was good to see the Pope here. Other news, plunging Congress into even deeper turmoil. Unbelievably, House Speaker John Bonner abruptly announced his resignation on Friday, shutting down a Tea Party drive to depose him, but opening up lots and lots of fresh troubles for the Republicans. John Bonner resigning. Wow. So, it was very emotional. It was said it was in a closed-door meeting. So, I don't really know what went on, but it must have been rough. Skeptical of Chinese assurances on cyber spying, the President of the U.S., our President, and the President of China stood side by side and pledged their countries would not conduct nor support any such hacking in the future. Do you believe that? Not me. Anyway, they stood there and promised it. What's it like to be a politician? So, that's kind of the news of the day. While mysterious sky booms continue to plague the United Kingdom, Whatever the source, the UK is also now the location of an entirely different sort of mysterious sound. It is the lingering ghostly wail of, get this, an old air raid siren. Adding to the utter high strangeness of the phantom air raid siren is the fact that nobody seems to be able to pinpoint a location. And on a remote British Columbian island, residents of Alert Bay, that's the name of it, say, well, the screams aren't anything new. And they've been reported for years, as have sightings of a big, hairy, humanoid creature in remote areas of the small island. The unidentified cryptid also seems to have a temper, as nasty as the smell that it leaves behind, and has been reported ripping up trees, tossing them at witnesses. Is it a lonely Sasquatch, stranded on this island somehow? My thoughts have not left the show we did last night with Dr. Jacobs. And they probably won't leave that for a long time to come. I am going to open up a special line tonight. And I am going to call it, I mean, we are in deeply troubled times. You would all admit that, right? These have to be deeply troubled times. So I'm opening up something I'm going to call the I'm losing my mind line. It's a new one. We've never done that. If you think you're losing your mind, and there must be a lot of you out there, right? Because a lot of crazy stuff is going on. A lot of violence in America, a lot of crazy head-shaking stuff. So, I'm losing my mind line. Area code 575-208-7787. If you think you are in substantial danger of losing your mind, then that's the number you want to call. Area code 575-208-7787. I'm losing my mind line. Other than that, let me give you the open lines how to get hold of his speech right now, okay? Now, this generally only comes once a week now, so you've got to put up with it. Our public line, the one anybody and everybody can call, is 1-952-225-5278, right? Area code 952-225-5278. Now, the cool way to call us, aside from the phone, which is fine, is by Skype. Now, everybody with a smartphone can do it. If you've got a smartphone, listen carefully. All you do is download Skype. Go to your store, whatever it is, where you get your toys and your apps, and download Skype. It's free. And when you get Skype and you get it set up, you go to the little plus sign. The little plus sign. You cannot dial us. What everybody's mistake is, after they get Skype, they go to the place where you dial a number and put in MITD. You can't do that. You go to add a contact, okay? Add a contact. And then you add us. If you're in North America, America and Canada, you would add MITD51. That's MITD, as in midnight in the desert, 51. If you're outside North America, MITD55 is what you add. And even though we don't respond to you and grab you as a contact, it doesn't matter because we are now in your contact list, you will notice. So from then on, you can just grab your phone, go to the contacts, and hit MITD whatever, and you're in. And you're going to sound good, too, as long as you don't talk to us on a speakerphone. If you're going to call us, talk to us as you would on a phone, because that's what you've got, is a phone. And don't forget, I'm losing my mind line at area code 575-208-7787, and that about covers it, I think. So what I'm going to do is take a quick break. And when we get back, I have no idea what's going to happen. But I'm sure something will. Open lines, anything goes, actually, this night, Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell.
On the wild side of midnight. From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Always did love girl hunting, definitely. All right, everybody, it's Open Lines and Anything Goes. Sometimes it's kind of fun to take a bumper song and start it and then finish it. You know, let it kind of play out where you get to your actually both parts. Where to begin? It's hard to know, but I think I'm going to go for Tiger Lily from Belgab. Tiger Lily, are you really there? No, you're not. That's too bad. That was Tiger Lily from Belgab, or it was supposed to be. I don't know what happened to her. Tim, hey, how you doing? Hello, Tim. Tim's not there. Really? That's two people not there. Well, what do I have to lose? Except my own mind, right? So let's go to I Think I'm Losing My Mind line and say hello there.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing okay. Are you in danger of losing your mind?
Well, yes, because I'm living in Philly, and the Pope's coming in a couple of days, so of course I am.
You're in Chile?
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Oh, Chile, Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Okay.
The Pope's coming in a couple of days.
He is,
now,
yes.
My question is, well, yesterday I could have sworn you had the same guest on. It felt like deja vu. I don't know if, like, you weren't there or whatever, but...
What do you mean?
I feel like
yesterday was Dr. Jacobs, right?
Yeah, I could have sworn like a week ago though. There you were on with Dr. Jacobs. I could have sworn it felt like deja vu.
Okay, well, you are losing your mind. You qualify.
Yeah. Hey, can I say hi to everybody on TuneIn Chat? It's great.
You can. Hello, TuneIn Chat. I know they do chat during the show, and that's pretty cool. Yeah. Done deal. You've said hello. So hold on to what you got left.
All right.
Take care. I'm losing my mind line. I couldn't resist. Area code 575-208-7787. And, boy, that line is filling up awfully fast. Nevertheless, I'm going to go over here to Matthew, I think. Hello, Matthew, you're on the air.
Well, Mr. Bell.
Yes, indeed.
How are you? I hope I'm sounding okay here.
You're sounding fine. And I don't rule out the fact that people calling on Skype may also be losing their minds. So if that's the case, you know.
Oh, I lost my mind years ago. That's all right.
That's good.
I was interested in last night's show. Dr. Jacobs, is it just me or is he getting more and more cynical?
Well, I think he is getting more cynical, but I can't blame him in view of the topic that he was talking about. I mean, he's saying there is an invasion of Earth going on right now. And hey, you know what? After the show, I went home last night and my wife reminded me that about, what is it now, one, I think, in 58 males are now coming up with autism. One in 58, which is so totally through the roof that I don't know why it didn't occur to me last night. I wish I said you should have texted me. But could it be that we're slowly being taken over and affected?
I don't know. Did you I seen, I can't remember where it was, but a scientist, an astronomer, somebody looked at, you're of course familiar with Betty and Barney Hill.
Oh yes, of course.
There's a, I believe an astronomer said that there's pretty much no way she could have come up with this star chart by random.
Mm-hmm.
That, he's thinking that this is, just one more, you know, proof that this happened, that this, this intelligence, whatever it was from, the Zeta Reticuli system. I don't know if you caught that on the news anywhere.
Not particularly, but who knows? They may have been. That's a very popular place in the UFO world, Zeta Reticuli.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right, well, listen, thank you very much. I'm also reminded, by the way, that this is the weekend of the super blood moon, right? Eclipse. A super blood moon eclipse. And, of course, the people who thought we were all going to die on the 23rd have revised to the 28th, I believe. So that's the new day to die, is the 28th, according to, well, the Internet. I'm going to try this one more time. Tiger Lily, hello.
Hi, Art.
Oh, it is you. You are there.
Yes, it is me. Hi.
Hi there. So I came to you before, and you said nothing.
I know. I heard the bleep, and then I couldn't hear your voice at all.
Okay.
I started talking.
Well, everybody knows, when you call on Skype, if you hear audio, like my voice, music, whatever we happen to have on at the moment, it means you're going to get through. So just relax. Turn down your device and wait until... You sent me that, huh? I love it.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, I'm a Skype novice, but had to give it a shot.
The Vestal Virgins of the Dark, a.k.a. Arts Tarts. I was in a lousy mood until I looked at that and I went, wow.
Well, that's what we're all about, Art. We want to keep you happy.
Well, thank you. I was tromping around in a field back and forth, checking on wires today for a large part of the day, so I needed happy.
You know what our theory is?
What?
Dave Rats.
It's what?
Dave Rats.
Yes, well, no comment.
Okay, we made the comment for you.
You wouldn't expect me to make a comment, now would you?
No, of course not. That's what we're here for.
Vestal virgins, really. Anyway, Vestal people, anyway.
Yes, Vestal virgins.
All right. All right. Tiger Lily, thank you, and you owe everybody on Belgab.
Thanks. Love you, Art. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Vestal, anyway. Hello there. You're on the air on the phone. Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I have a shadow person story.
Okay.
And up until a few weeks ago, I didn't know what to call this thing until I started listening to the show more since you've been back on the air. But about 20 years ago, I live in Phoenix right now, but about 20 years ago when I was in Chicago, lived in my mother's house, had my room in the basement, you know, I was in my teens, woke up. And I saw this dark, like a male figure standing at the foot of my bed.
Mm-hmm.
The only light was coming through the window from the street lights, so I could see the outline real good. So I was kind of course, I was afraid looking at this thing. It was pretty tall. So he jumps in the bed, literally, and we start wrestling. And all I could say was it wasn't much of a wrestling match because he was way stronger than me and tossed me around the bed like I was a rag doll.
I am so in sympathy with you. I didn't get tossed around. I didn't get attacked. But I have seen now one of these damn things, and I don't ever want to see one again.
Yeah. He tossed me around. Finally, he let me go, and he stood back at the foot of the bed. My remote control was laying in the bed with me, was sitting at the foot of the bed. So I grabbed my remote control with the strength that I had left, and I threw it at this thing. He disappeared. But when he disappeared, it was like he kind of, like, you know, went down.
It's the old, like, remote control defense.
Exactly. So I didn't know what to do but throw that thing. And so I got up out the bed, and I remember I was so tired that I literally crawled up maybe like 13 stairs, you know, to go into the kitchen. I get into the kitchen. I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and my mother comes in. She was an early riser. She comes in to make her coffee. And I guess it was obvious that something was wrong because she turned and looked at me. It was Sunday morning. She turned and looked at me and said, "What the hell is wrong with you?"
Mm-hmm.
So I explained to her what happened. And she just stood there and just kind of kept doing what she was doing, but she had a look of concern on her face. And she said, "Well, you want to go to church with me today?" And I, after that experience, I felt like I had to do something. But that experience stayed with me all to this point. And I never knew what to call it until like a few shows ago, and I heard the term shadow person. I said, well, maybe that's what it was.
That's, sir, what it was. And I've got something for you now. I want you to listen on the air. The following is from Jason Offit. And it's called When Shadow People Attack. And since he brought it up, I can't resist. The first thought that crossed Stephen Painter's 5-year-old mind was that someone had broken into his house in Bury, Great Manchester, England. Around 1986, my mother took me around the local estate to her friend's house, says Painter. I believe she'd been burgled because her entire kitchen, was covered, and I do mean covered, in big black handprints, almost animal-like. Well, he didn't say anything about the obvious black handprints, not until later. I mentioned the incident to my mother, what I saw. She looked at me and said, "Nothing on the wall, Stephen." Now, he didn't know how that could be. The prints were there. His mother's friend said she saw the shadows in the image of the dark faces on the walls. His mother was immune. There was nothing on the wall from her point of view. From that point, dark images have followed Painter. The animal-like prints he saw when he was 5 have now turned into entities. "I've seen a big black mess with red eyes always at my door," he said. "The hat man always in the background, and typical shadow people just like our shadows on a sunny day." These typical shadow people have become so commonplace to Painter, he's given them a nickname. He calls them Joeys. He sees these Joeys mostly in his dreams, and the dreams are violent. "Every time after this that I've encountered these beings, I've always been in a sluggish state, able to see my body in bed," he says. "I've always been chased. They blocked my doorways, tried to scratch or make physical contact with me." Doctors have told Painter these dreams are caused by some kind of sleep disorder. "These situations are like an out-of-body experience," he says. "I see myself in the bed." In fact, at 16, he dreamt he was outside being chased through the garden into the house and onto his bed that started to envelop him. "I woke, but I couldn't move. I felt I'd just run the London Marathon. I had a cramp in my left leg." More recently, though, he's been discovering physical marks. "I have actually awoke, usually feeling like I've been active all night, muscles tense, aching, even fingers hurting." He said, "On 2 occasions, I've had scratches on my side, my right side, always after an encounter. During these encounters, Joeys are always the ones to approach him. The hat man simply stands in the background watching." None of these encounters, however, equal what Painter calls the attack. "It was around 3 years ago. I went to bed as normal. Got my usual pre-attack buzzing, and I fell asleep," says he. "Next thing he knew, he stood at the side of his bed, looking at his body, lying next to his then-girlfriend, his eyes frozen open. I knew instantly what was going on, tried to wake up. I panicked, because I never have seen myself like that, and I thought I was dying." Painter's dream turned and saw 3 shadows, entities, if you will, in the room, two Joeys and the hat man. "I'm now confused and scared more than usual. One of the shadow entities lunged at Painter. The other reached out to scratch him. As usual during this dream state, Painter's movements were slow, like he was moving underwater. But Painter, a jiu-jitsu instructor, fought them off. I've never done it before or since, but I went for them, and they put up no resistance. Isn't that interesting and kind of like the story we just heard? He wrestled with the shadow people. Landing enough punches, they retreated behind the hat man. I then turned around, and for the first time, I saw a line, a silvery thread, kind of like a tail, if you will. He thought he was crazy. But you know what? His girlfriend saw them as well. So whatever the doctors told him, they were real. Very real.
In that darkest time between dusk and dawn, from the high desert, it's Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert. Now, here's Art.
Here I am. It's open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. Don't forget, we have a I'm losing my mind line. And if you get on, you better sound like you're really losing it. That number is area code 575-208-7787. And not to spoil the otherwise good mood, but here is Mr. Cool in Australia. Yo, Mr. Cool. Did you hear that Stephanie Seneff, who is a senior research scientist at MIT, said that at today's rate, in 10 years' time, one in every two children will be autistic? God, I mean, I've heard some terrible things, but that rate's up near the top. Let me say it again, just in case you want to look it up. Did you hear that Stephanie Seneff, who is a researcher, a scientist at MIT, said that at today's rate, in 10 years' time, one in every two children will be autistic? And if that isn't scary, that rate's right up there in my mind with a full invasion of Earth, frankly, which we also heard about last night. On I'm Losing My Mind line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
I'm calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
You are. Okay.
Yes.
And you think you're losing your mind, why?
Oh, hell yeah. I am, excuse it, I know I'm not supposed to swear.
Well,
I am losing my mind.
Why?
Here's the deal. I don't think the world's flat. I know that we've been to the moon.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You don't think the world's flat? You don't think the sun is a mere 3,000 miles above our heads?
It could be 3,000 miles above our head.
Okay, you are losing
your mind. I don't think the world is flat. Yeah, ignore all that. Ignore the guy behind the mirror. Here's the thing.
Yes.
And I know you're not like a trafficker of, kind of controversial subjects. But
what are you talking about? That's all we have here is controversial subjects.
This whole thing about Black Lives Matter, I swear, I'm not a racist, and I have no problems with anybody.
Usually when somebody says I'm not a racist, they're about to make a racist remark.
Yeah, that's exactly why I almost didn't call in.
Yeah, well, probably you shouldn't have.
All right.
Don't make a racist remark. I don't want to hear a racist remark. There must be other reasons that you're losing your mind.
The other reason that is the only reason I'm losing my mind.
Because you want to say something racist?
No, I'm not, Art. I promise I'm not.
Well, then what?
To say, but this whole thing about Black Lives Matter, and then you have Police Lives Matter.
All lives matter. All lives matter.
Yes, exactly, Art. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, then you're not losing your mind, and you don't qualify to be on that line, really. Even though you did sound a little iffy, I'll give you that. But only if you really think you're losing your mind should you call that line. If you're on the edge, maybe, of doing something awful. Look how crazy society is today. And I'm giving you an opportunity to open up before you act on something foolish. It's area code 575-208-7787. I'm losing my mind line. Craig, you're on the air. How's your mind?
It's hanging in there, Art.
Good.
My first Skype call, how am I sounding?
I'm just like you're right here.
Excellent, excellent. So I've had the strangest experience I've ever had in my life in August, and I thought maybe you could give me some feedback and let me know how to proceed. Have you got a minute for a story?
Sure. But, even before you tell it, I can tell you that you don't have long to live.
that's kind of the gist of the story, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I read minds, and that may make me a hybrid, but go ahead.
Okay, so and it is so nice to have you back on the air. And that was a very, very scary show last night.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so let me just give you a little bit of quick background about me so that this little experience will make sense. So I'm in my 50s. My daughter is in her 20s. She has no children. I have no grandchildren. One of my hobbies, I have a little fleet of kind of vintage motorcycles and classic cars, all in various states of disrepair, that I drive around during the summer.
Probably all over the yard, right?
I've got a big warehouse that I put them in, so they're not sitting out getting rusty.
Okay.
And I've always told her, look, when I'm gone, you can do anything you want with these cars and motorcycles. The only thing is I've got this 1931 Model A that's been in the family since the 50s. My dad and I restored it. Please keep that. And then I've got this little Honda, 1972 Honda XL250 that was my first big motorcycle, and it is just like in showroom condition. So those are the only two that, that I'd like to see stay in the family.
Yes.
So during the summer, I like to get up early and before I go into the office, and I'll stop in at Starbucks with my planner and have a cup of coffee and get ready for the day, usually between 6:30 and 7. So second week of August, I think it was the Wednesday, the 12th, I am sitting in Starbucks having a cup of coffee. I'd ridden my little Honda 250 down in the that morning, and a fellow comes in, and he says, hey, whose little Honda is that outside? And I said, hey, it's mine. And he says, hey, I've got one, that's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes over to the table, and he stands there, and we chat for a few minutes. And you know how sometimes you just run into somebody and you just have this rapport with them. And this guy looked like he was maybe in his late 20s, early 30s. And we talked about cars and motorcycles. And in this short conversation we had, he also mentioned, he said, my grandfather left me a Model A and this bike. And I said, oh, that's a coincidence, because I've got a Model A as well. And I'm thinking, God, I had to get to know this guy.
Guy of my soul, brother.
Yeah. somebody that gets their hands greasy, and we can, work on these vehicles together.
Yes.
So we talked for a few minutes, and I was going to go get a refill, and my cup is empty. So I stand up on the side of the table, and I said, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee? Because he hadn't gone to get one. And he said, no, he said, I don't have much time. He said, I really need to be going. He said, but I need to tell you something. He said, and I know this is going to sound crazy. He said, but, and I can't tell you how I know. And it was really weird. And he started to get all serious, looking right in my eyes, and his tears started to well up in his eyes. And he says, do not go to Alaska in October. And I probably go, I'm a geologist. I go work all over the western U.S., and I go to Alaska 5, 6, 7 times a year. and I didn't have a trip planned, but and I kind of laughed, and he said, you know, he said, I can't tell you how, you know, I know this, but I just need to tell you, do not go. And, you know, and tears were in his eyes, and he reached out and grabbed around me and gave me a big hug, and he whispered something while he was hugging me, and I was so kind of taken aback. And you know how sometimes when you hear something and it takes a little while to, I didn't understand what he said. And he let go of me and said, remember that. And he turned and strode towards the door, and I saw him go out the door and past the windows. And I sat there for about 10 seconds processing, what did he say? And suddenly it came to me. He said, love you, Grandpa. And
Oh, my God.
And so I took off out the door and around the corner. And just as I rounded the door around the corner, I kind of saw this flash. And it was, you know, it's like 6:45. It's early in the morning. And, you know, and it could have been like the sun glinting off a windshield or something. But as when I came around the corner, there was no one there. And there weren't any cars. And it's like 250 feet to the next doorway.
Yeah.
And there was nobody there. And, you know, I'm a scientist, and I don't know how to, you know, I mean, yeah, this flash could have been, like I said, the reflection, and this guy could have just been a coincidence, and maybe he was messing with me, but...
Doesn't sound like it to me.
I don't know. So what do you take from that, Art? That's
I don't know. Are you going?
Experience.
Are you? Did you go to Alaska?
The reason I'm calling is yesterday a proposal came across my desk a project in Juneau for October.
You know, I don't think I'd go if I were you. I would take that literally and seriously, and I wouldn't go.
So, you know, and I'm almost tempted to just to see what would happen.
Well, you remember at the beginning of the call what I said, right?
Yes.
Don't go.
Okay, so...
And if you do go, well, I was going to say call me, but, you know, that chance might not come up.
But anyway, very strange experience. So, I mean, you know, all I've heard about time travel is you can only go forward, you can't go backwards.
Oh, what do we know about time travel? Come on.
Yeah.
Really. If it comes to pass, I would imagine going in either direction could be certainly possible. And remind me again, what did he whisper to you?
He said, love you, Grandpa.
Have a good night, sir. And trust me, don't go to Alaska. That sounds serious. That was a whale of a call, wasn't it? Mark, hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Good morning from Bern. The sun is just coming up.
Bern, Switzerland.
Say again?
Switzerland.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think there's a collective going crazy going on, Art. I've been divorced 10 years.
I agree. And that's why I had the I'm losing my mind line.
Yeah, and I just want to tell you, the collective craziness that I'm seeing is I've been dating 10 years now since my divorce, and I'm noticing a change in behavior of the women I'm dating, and I don't think it's because of the specific women I'm dating. I just think
change in behavior of what nature?
Yeah, they want sex immediately, first date sex, and they don't want relationships.
Oh my God.
And I think this is a change. People think that things are unstable, and they simply want to go and get what they can get and not think long term.
You feel used?
No.
Do you feel fortunate?
I feel that people don't think that there's long term planning to be done anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, every time we pass a date for the world to be devoured and destroyed by some sort of incoming rock, they change the date, push ahead a little bit. Now it's supposed to be the 28th, I hear.
Yeah. By the way, the show with Dr. Jacobs yesterday was unbelievable.
It was.
But believable.
Yes, I'm afraid it was, and I don't rule out what he says. I mean, for somebody of his qualification to come on the air and say what he said last night alone is astounding. I'm not sure if anybody else picked up on it who's interviewed the man lately, but, you know, they came to the point where I said, hey, that's mind control, and that's an invasion. And he said, well, you said it as though nobody else has, in response to what he's been saying lately. So, God, yeah, scary stuff. And
it could be that I've been meeting hybrids, and that's why they want sex so quickly.
It could be. All I can say is have fun and stay neutral.
Thank you, Art, and love you.
Have a good night. Stay neutral. That's what the Swiss always do, right? They stay neutral. Let's go here. Michelle, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle. I can barely hear you.
Hi.
You're on some kind of a... Michelle, hold on. You're on a computer or something, right?
Yes.
Okay, get right up near where the little, you know, microphone is in the computer, because you're too far away.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
No, you haven't found it yet. What is it you're talking into, Michelle?
I'm talking into the computer.
Okay, all right. Look at your computer very carefully. You see the rim around? Is it a laptop?
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay. So it's got a rim around it, right? And somewhere in that rim, there's like a little dot of a hole. That would be a microphone. Get up real close to that and say something.
Okay, can you hear me now? Is that any better?
That is better, Michelle. And where are you?
I'm Sydney, Australia.
I've
called you before.
Okay.
Okay. I wanted to talk about Dr. Jacobs. He's brilliant. I am an experiencer. I've only recently admitted that. And some of the things that he spoke about really resonated
with me. Okay, let's back up a little bit. Do you believe you've been abducted? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. Many times in my lifetime.
Oh.
Yes. But in respect to the mind reading...
yes.
My heart is pounding because I don't speak of it. But it's very apparent. I can do it since I was very young. Sometimes I've been outed accidentally by friends. I don't know what else to tell you.
Are you okay? Are you telling me that you can read minds?
Yes, but not all the time.
Not all the time.
Not all the time. Most definitely.
When you do, I've always been curious about this. When you do read somebody's mind, Michelle, how does it come to you? Is it as though something is speaking in your mind, or can you hear thoughts? I mean, how does that work?
You can hear the thought, but most of all, it will come as a complete sentence. So let's say I'm... And this is something that I was very confused about in my 30s. Let's say I think of a friend, but I hear their voice, I hear them mention whatever it is that they mention, and the sentence that they say. And often I think, oh, I haven't spoken to Sarah for a while. Let me give her a call.
Uh-huh.
And I call them, call her or whomever, and they will say, we were just thinking about you, we were just talking about you.
Yes, actually, Michelle, there's a scientist doing a whole study on this right now. ESP, involves getting or making calls. You know, just thinking about you kind of deal. So that's actually being studied.
But it's more to it than that. Okay, this is an example. I was sitting on a train once.
Yes.
Reading a book, minding my own business, and... I started humming a tune, and the man that was behind me, I started seeing the tune, and then he tapped me on my shoulder and said, I was just thinking about that song.
Really?
Yeah.
So maybe you're projecting thoughts as well.
I've often wondered that. So that's why I said in my 30s I found it very confusing, and it got to the stage where I actually didn't want to call anybody. I didn't want to talk to any of my friends because I didn't know.
Can you try an experiment for me, Michelle? Can you try and get somebody to do something with your mind? Have you ever tried that?
To do something with my mind?
No. In other words, use your mind and try to get somebody to do something they otherwise would not do.
I've never tried that, and I've never thought of doing that.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm suggesting to you that you try it.
Okay.
Can you give that a shot?
I have in the past thought of somebody and asked them to call me, and that happens.
Uh-huh. Well, let's take it one step further.
Who I haven't spoken to for, right, you know, like a year.
I've got it, Michelle. What I want you to do is take it one step further and have them do something.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight.
From the Kingdom of Nye in the high desert, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please ring Art's bell at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
I can play a little more of my bumper music on Open Lines nights, and that's what we've got tonight. Open Lines, anything you want to talk about, actually, and we've already been down some pretty strange trails. And don't forget the I'm Losing My Mind line, which has been locked up full since we began the show. I'm just a little tentative about going there. That's 575, area code 575-208-7787. Going to the phone this time, and Great Falls, I think, something, Minnesota, Michigan? Great Falls, Minnesota,
Montana.
Probably. Montana.
It's Montana.
I shouldn't guess. It just says M. I'm sorry. It just says Great Falls, comma, M. So.
Well, at least it said Great Falls. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I am too.
Mm-hmm. And the man that just called a few calls back, don't go to Alaska in October.
And I agree. That was some freaky story.
He said my birthday, too, and that freaked me out, and I heard it all, and I was listening so intently, and I was shaking, and I thought, no, he cannot go. He can come to Montana. There's a lot of bones to dig up out here.
You should also keep in mind the way I began the call, you know. You're not going to live very much longer. So you should take that as like a double warning.
Oh, definitely. I've got a story I've been wanting to tell you for years.
All right.
And it's something I don't think anybody has ever experienced before with Bigfoot.
Okay.
And it's absolutely true. And I don't have any pictures or anything, but it happened in 1978. And it was one of them real quiet, dark nights. And we're driving home from the lake, and the parents are in the front, and the kids are in the back, and I'm the 20-year-old, you know, with the holding the kids while they're sleeping.
No. Okay.
Off in the distance, they saw something big, and they almost ran it over. So of course they slammed the brakes on.
So you're in the back seat with the kids?
I'm in the back seat.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right.
And it's dark, 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 creepy dark. And I'm thinking, okay, I wonder what it is. And he's got his headlights on. And I saw a flicker of it cross the road. He saw the whole thing cross the road. It come around really quickly, too, right around to the back of the trunk.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know the red, you know the older cars, I guess it was a I don't know what you call those things, tornado? And one of them tornados, that's the name.
Tornado, okay.
One of them big old lights in the back like a boat.
Yes.
Yeah, and he had his foot on the brake. And the red lights was hitting this thing.
Yes.
I look up, and I see Bigfoot standing there, and I knew it was Bigfoot. Anyway,
and
I
you knew this why? Bigfoot. I mean, you describe
knew because
it.
I've, okay, it was, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at it. It was kind of reddish, but I'm pretty sure it was red, though, even though that there was light on it that was red. The eyes were glowing red, ish orange.
Oh, really?
That creeped me out. That right there, just those. But the thing is, this is what happened. I'm shaking. It happened so fast. He picked up both his hands and slammed it down, his palms, on the back of the trunk, and the guy tells me, "Don't let the kids look back." And he put his foot on the gas, and boom, we were gone. Okay. Now, in my mind, in the memory, I was so freaked out. I honestly don't remember hearing a sound from the creature.
Well, if you had, it would have sounded something like that. That is the sound of a Bigfoot.
I met some researchers in Oregon in 1974 when we were all hiking, and they showed me some freshly done,
poop?
Oh, footprints out of cement or whatever that other is.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, we sat down and we talked for a while, and then we had to go down a 1,500-foot ravine to get down to the river. So we sat up there for a while before we went down. Anyway, they talked to me all about it, and then 4 years later, 1978, okay, so the next day, I'm just pacing the floor because I saw the dents in the trunk. I called the sheriff. He refused to come out. I called a researcher, and I don't remember who I called in the research, UFO researcher, by the way. They came out, took pictures, asked us the story, you know.
Wait. What did they take pictures of? Footprints or?
I'm sorry. They took pictures of the palm prints that were dented perfectly.
Oh, too, my God, really?
In the trunk.
You don't happen to still have those photographs, do you?
No, I didn't get them. They weren't mine. There was the researchers that we called. I called. I never got any. I asked, you know. And I never got the.
Well, how do you find?
Copies? Of course, I wanted that.
How do you find a Bigfoot researcher off the cuff? I mean, you can't pick up a phone book and look under B.
I called some UFO. It was a UFO researcher.
Ah.
It wasn't a Bigfoot. It was a paranormal type.
Okay, gotcha.
UFOs.
Right.
And I don't think it was Peter Davenport.
Davenport, right? But you anyway. He took pictures.
Yes, of the dents only.
Okay.
I don't know if there was hair. We didn't see, because believe me, I looked at that bumper. I looked at the everywhere for hair. I wanted some, you know.
Some hair.
I wanted proof. Yeah, that's something that you will never forget. Just to joke with me, this guy takes me over, boyfriend of mine, right? 2 weeks later, he takes me over there on the bike and goes, "I know where Bigfoot lives." I go, "Yeah, right." So we go walking down this path, and I go, "What is that smell?" And it don't smell like anything you ever smelt before. Hmm. It's almost like a skunk and a bear. I've smelt bear, wet bear.
Right.
It's just stinky. Stinkier worse than a human, okay? And I'm going, "What is?" He goes, "Just listen." He picks up a rock, and he throws it down the path, and all of a sudden you hear this, the same scream that you have on the tape is the exact kind of scream I heard, and I ran.
I would too.
I didn't see it.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very, very much for the call. I would have run too. No doubt about that. Anything that puts giant dents in the back of the car, oh, good Lord. Well, we do shows on Bigfoot a lot, as you know. It's one of the things we follow, and there you have a, it sounded like a real story to me. And let's go to our I'm losing my mind line. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Okay, it's me then. Okay, hey, my name is Russell, by the way.
Russell, welcome to the program. And why do you think you're losing your mind?
Well, it might have something to do with the fact I've been listening to you for 30 years or something like that. I don't know. But
humorous, Russell.
Oh, wait.
Yes.
I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, and
So Russell, actually, you're using this line just to call up and say I like the show.
No, hell no. Listen.
Okay, all right. Listen, Russell. Number one, turn off your device. I've got to at least say that whatever device is playing the show in the background.
I will leave the room.
All right, leave the
room.
Better? Yes.
Is that better?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
All right. Here's the deal. Okay. For years, I'm getting tired of hearing the same crap that I've been living over and over again. Okay? Seems like everything that I've lived through, I've heard on these radio shows or I've seen it on TV and whatnot. It's at the point where I don't even like to say the words, I'm an abductee. I don't even like to say it anymore. It's ridiculous. I feel ridiculous saying it.
So you are an abductee.
Can I finish losing my mind here for a second?
Yes, you may.
Also, I've been living a deja vu constantly for the last couple of years. It's driving me insane. I'm sick and tired of living in deja vu. It's nuts. It's as if somebody keeps hitting freaking rewind on me.
So you're saying you're abducted again and again and again?
No. Well, only when I was younger. This deja vu thing is recently.
I see.
Okay. And the shadow people. I'm tired of hearing about shadow. I saw shadow people before they were even talking about it. Okay. To me, the shadow people, what they were to me, what I was saying was, I'm laying in bed at night or on the couch at night, but there's a little, your eyes adjust to the darkness, you know. But you see these people, they're darker than the darkness. It's like their energy absorbs what little bit of light there is in the night, and it just makes their space darker than the night that's around them.
Russell, it sounds it does sound like you're fed up. You know what would make you feel better?
I'm fed up with seeing my life being replayed.
I understand. You know what would make you feel better?
What?
Somebody's nagging on you in the background, saying, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, well, I say that every day to the old lady. It doesn't work.
Is that who I'm hearing in the background?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I mean, try it. It'll make you, you've got to put some feeling. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. Quit replaying my freaking life.
All right. You already feel better. I'm sure you do. Although I can tell that you're, slipping away a little. Jack, you're on the air.
Evening, Art.
Good evening.
Are you by chance a fan of Doctor Who?
Yeah, somewhat, sure.
Do you remember a couple of seasons ago they had a race that they brought into the show called The Silence?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
You should definitely look them up. I think they're based on the Shadow People.
Really? Well, you heard that last caller. He's just fed up.
I can understand him. I can understand him. I do have a quick question for you, though, sir.
Yes.
Could I quote you in a research paper for one of my college courses?
Well, what's it about? Quoting me on about what?
Well, it's your opinion. Should there be disclosure?
It's my opinion.
I know.
That there should be disclosure? Is that what you're saying?
Well, my paper is on, is a debate paper on should there be UFO disclosure.
I see.
And I would, it's your choice, but if I could, I would like to quote you and your current opinion.
All right, then. I want you to listen carefully, because I do not necessarily have the opinion that there should be disclosure. I'm sorry. I know this is going to probably ruin it for you, but you may recall the Brookings report. Do you remember the Brookings report?
Yes, sir. I've actually read it recently.
Okay. Well, it basically it says that people, institutions, civilization, religions would all be negatively affected, and people would go even crazier than they are right now. And they're bat stuff crazy now. So if we actually had disclosure, if like the president of the U.S. sat down and said, American people, I want to disclose tonight that we have been, or how about this, that we are being invaded by hybrids, by what are called hubrids. Imagine if the president sat down and said that. Already the girls, according to an earlier caller, are giving it away. I mean, my God, what would happen? So you want to write all that down, turn it in?
I'm definitely, if you're giving me permission, putting that in my paper.
You put that in your paper. You let me know how that comes out.
I absolutely will. I will send you a copy, actually. And I am a time traveler, so I will be able to quote you word for word.
All right, sir. Thank you very, very much for the call, and take care. And I'm going back to I'm losing my mind line. Hello. I think I punched the right one. I'm losing my mind line. Are you there? Going once. Going twice. Go on. Let's go instead to... Where is this anyway? It looks like Yorkton, Saskatchewan, if I had to guess.
You're absolutely right, Art. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm beginning to slip a little now. It's one,
well,
one call after another.
Socks off.
Okay. My socks need to come off, so go ahead.
Okay. So this happened. I actually called into the first Open Lines and told you about me missing 3 hours when I went home from a friend's place, which was a mile and a half away.
Yes.
Now, to finish off the story, why? Remember what happened. I was driving, and I ended up going to a gas station. I met these two people, and they looked very familiar. And I couldn't quite place them at the time. There was this guy in a Charger, a brown Charger, I remember it distinctly, and he was going in the car with his girlfriend, and nodded to him, nodded to her, made communication, whatever. I later realized that I'd seen my parents before I was even born. And then I told Dad about, asked him if he worked at the gas station, and he goes, well, that's back in 1977, before you were even thought of.
You saw your parents before you were born?
Yeah.
That definitely qualifies. How do you know for sure? I mean, there's no question in your mind about what you saw, who you saw?
No question at all. Because my parents haven't changed that much. And then my dad showed me a picture of my mother from high school, because he still holds it in her wallet. Same picture. It was her. And I talked to my mom, and she told her about this coat she was wearing, this light blue coat, and she recognized right away with what it was. And then I mentioned she had some cookbooks from Companies Coming. She goes, yeah, I got that from the gas station when your father worked there before you were born. And I didn't know about this before.
Yes.
And it was kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy. That's really crazy. I don't know what to say to you, except you had a little preview.
Yeah, that's what I was teasing my mom. I said maybe it was me spying on them to see what they were like before I came to Earth. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out to this day. I emailed that parapsychologist you had, and he said he's heard stories of that happening to people before.
Really?
But there's no explanation for it. Yeah.
If you had another opportunity to see your parents before you were born, what would you say to them?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Take it easy on me when I misbehave. I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh, that's too easy. How about just don't do it?
No, but I want to be around here. I'm glad to be around, you know? And then I got back to the house. It was 3 hours later. And what's funny, that gas station that I told you about,
yes,
was torn down in 1979 before I was born, too.
Huh. All right, sir. Thank you. It just doesn't get better than that. Yeah, yell at him. Don't do it. You know, yeah. And then you're gone like that. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
Well, you're listening, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's strange, but I'm having fun.
Hey, I have a guest request.
Yes?
Hey, remember when you had Dan Aykroyd on?
Did I have Dan?
You had Dan Aykroyd on. He had a documentary on about...
It was a very short... I think it was a very short appearance.
I met him recently. He had like a tour around my city, and he's selling some sort of vodka, like a Crystal Skull vodka. But
Crystal Skull vodka, really?
Yeah, he sell. Yeah,
something. I don't know. Any bottle of vodka with a skull on it, you've got to be warned.
It's made out of a skull, like a crystal skull. It's nice. Have him on. He is a great guest, and especially with Ghostbusters, the new movie coming out, that'd be great. You know, to have him on.
Might be fun,
and
yeah.
That would be fun. So I just thought I'd call in and say, hey, you know, have Dan Aykroyd on. He's a great guest.
All right. Consider it registered, Dan Aykroyd. Selling vodka that you drink from a crystal skull. Let's go to, I just can't resist, I'm losing my mind line. Hello? Hello? Now, what's up with that, that I can't get somebody to say something? Try it now. Are you there?
Art?
Yes.
Yes, this is the losing my mind line, right?
Yes.
Yes, well, I'm definitely feel like I'm losing my mind.
Are you going quickly or a little bit at a time every day?
Pretty quickly here. I'm fighting this thirst for blood that I've got right now.
You mean you don't mean human blood, do you?
Yes, I do, Art.
You do?
Yes, yes. I like to take frequent walks in the woods we have here at night, and I was attacked, and I'm not sure quite what happened because it was just a blur.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. You were attacked. You were bitten by somebody?
Yes. It was dark, and whatever it was did come from above, in the trees, I think. I'm not sure.
So you mean it pounced on you, or it flew down and got you?
I'm not sure. The only thing I knew is the next thing I was on the ground, and I woke up in my basement.
Yes.
And this thirst for blood is the sickness that I'm feeling right now.
I get it. How long ago did this attack occur?
All right, this has been just in the past 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
This just happened.
Yes?
And like I said, I'm losing my mind. I'm going down fast. It's just very overwhelming. I can't even keep a straight mind.
Well, when you have a thirst for human blood, is it like... I mean, what can you compare it to? Is it like when you want chocolate ice cream, or even worse?
It's even worse than that. It's like when you don't have an appetite, but I'm very much in need for it. Something's pulling me towards that. I've even sliced a little bit of what I have on my neck myself, where I was bitten, and... That is what's pulling me. And
you mean you like took a taste of your own?
Well, the smell, it's driving me crazy. I'm losing my mind.
Like,
I don't know what to say. I hope I make it through this night.
Stronger than bacon. So you might actually attack somebody.
Art, I hope not. I don't want nothing like this to happen. I always thought that vampires were not real. But I'm losing my mind, Art.
You really think you're a vampire?
If what I think happened, yes.
Have you noticed any change in your front teeth?
Nothing there. I'm just feeling very, very sick, pains. I'm feeling cold. I'm starting to feel very, very cold.
So like hunger pains, except it's thirst.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if you get this human blood... Do you think you'll feel better? Is that the feeling you have?
Well, that's what every vampire movie tells you.
It is. All right. Well, it sounds like you're in. Yeah, it sounds like you're in pain.
Okay, Art. I needed to talk to somebody. That's for sure.
Well, I hope you feel better, and I hope you make it through the night. There is going to be a big moon, you know, moon.
I know that's going to come. Can I put a shameless plug out there, too, for me, Art?
Well, as what? Vampire?
A group that I really love talking in.
What group is that?
It's Talking Art Bell, Midnight in the Desert.
Yes, really?
A bunch of good people.
Well, they may be a bunch of good people, but now they know they have among them...
I hope not. I'm a big supporter, but... What happened? This is only the past 24 hours.
Well, make a posting. Maybe somebody will volunteer. Thank you for the call. You ever wonder if there's real vampires? I think you might have been one. Jason, hello.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
All right.
Yes.
We haven't talked about... since you've been back, and you've been fantastic, by the way, I haven't heard much about chupacabras, and I'm wondering if I've just missed it, or if there's sort of a chupacabra shortage.
Well, there hasn't been much about the chupacabra of late, but
do you think
it tends to come in waves, you know.
do you think they're understaffed? Because I've been looking for a job.
Well, they might be endangered.
Endangered?
Yes, endangered. You're looking for a job?
I thought I might get a job as a chupacabra.
Hunter? Or actually as a chupacabra?
As a chupacabra. I'm pretty...
Well, chupacabras, sir, they attack animals, and they drain all the blood from them. So you're now sounding like my last caller with more of a taste for critters.
Maybe we could team up. I don't want to do the blood thing, but it sounds like he really does.
It's the moon thing, I guess. I know he really sounded quite serious, didn't he?
He did.
Uh-huh. And actually, you do, too. So the only difference between you and him is he's going to go find a human. You're going to find a critter of some sort. Yeah, Jason, thank you for calling. And good luck with that. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. It's Tom from Florida.
Yes, hi.
Sorry. I'm just laughing at these last two callers. I don't know. They got some problems, I think. But anyway, I have two things, if it's okay. The first is about last night's show. I heard something. I don't know. It might have been on one of your older shows about how possibly the reason why these beings might be doing tests and things on us,
yes,
is because they're interested in the human soul. Like, the human soul may actually be the soul may be a rare thing within the universe, and they're actually
very rare. I mean, sir, come on. Satan and the one above fight over human souls. That's what it's all about.
Well, I mean, I heard that somewhere where they're maybe trying to figure out a way to obtain. Like, they're just interested in why we have a soul and they don't. I actually heard that on a show being discussed as a possibility, and I thought that was an interesting possibility. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I wanted to ask is, as a possible guest, have you ever thought about having Zach Bagans on of Ghost Adventures, you know, or somebody from one of those shows, like Ghost Hunters or...
You know, I always wonder about those shows, and I'm sorry to say this, but... You know, you get a camera guy and a sound guy, and you go out looking for ghosts, you know, ghost hunting, and I don't know. What are the odds of seeing a ghost in your entire lifetime? So then what are the odds of having a camera crew and a host, and then, you see where I'm going with this, right? Steve, hello, Steve.
How you doing, Art?
Sounds like you fell down or something.
No, this is Steve again from Germany, Art Bell. I got three quick questions.
From Germany. Okay, three? Really? Okay.
Yeah, first of all, why do ghosts have clothes on? I mean, what's the meaning of the clothes? Do they also come back to life? Second question,
Hold on, sir. Ghosts have clothes so that they don't gross us out. Can you imagine how gross it would be?
Oh, come on, Art.
I mean,
come on.
I am coming. You got to hold on. We're at a break. Can you hold on?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Clock strikes 12, and midnight in the desert is pounding packets your way on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, please direct your finger digits to dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
All right, everybody, open lines. Anything you want to talk about, spare game. Don't forget the I'm Losing My Mind line, which is area code 575-208-7787. That's 575-208-7787. Doug Dougherty, I probably shouldn't have said his last name, doesn't matter though, put a message on my Facebook that I thought was pretty cool. Was it Doug? Yeah, it was Doug. Last night, he said, was the best show yet, except I don't agree with Art or Dr. Jacobs. I don't see it, meaning the invasion, as a threat, but rather a blessing for mankind. So, Doug, your opinion of the current state of mankind must not be really high. A blessing for mankind, huh? To be invaded and to be taken over. Okay, back to Germany, and I think we settled the part about ghosts with clothes. Otherwise, it would, you know, look, gravity acts on everybody, my friend, and so to see a ghost without clothes would be gross. And what was your other question?
Okay, that answer was kind of a flop from your side, but okay, the next question is, why do UFOs need light? If they can navigate through space and bend its time fabric or whatever, why do they need navigation lights?
So we can see them.
Ah, so they are not trying to hide from us.
Well, if they're trying to hide, they turn off the lights.
Exactly. Well, yeah, okay, good.
That's what I could do there.
I called in a few weeks ago, and you promised Stephen Greer on the show pretty soon. Stephen, is it going to happen this year?
Stephen Greer, yes. It is going to happen this year. He's already scheduled. We don't give things away ahead of time, but, yeah, he's coming.
Yeah. Okay. And my last question, and I can take this one off the air.
Yes.
Why do people say Roswell's when they call you?
You know the significance of Roswell, right?
Yes, of course.
It's like, you know, Rush did with dittos. People just use Roswell because, you know, I talk about this kind of stuff. So Roswell's.
Okay, Roswell's to you. Thanks again, Art.
All right, you're very welcome, and I'm very disappointed that you didn't like my explanation about ghosts and clothes. And I'm losing my mind. Line, you're on the air. Maybe you're not. Now you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Richard.
Hi, Richard. Are you actually losing your mind?
Yes, I think I'm going nuts. Maybe because I live like a shut-in, but I like to say welcome back onto the air.
Well, thank you. That's nice. We need to get to the actual nugget of why you called, and that's because you're losing your mind.
The reason why I think I'm going nuts is because I watch a lot of media. And I think I was born too early. You know, I'm 47 now. And like I said, I look like a shut-in.
You actually don't go out at all? I mean, you stay home the time?
I leave the house maybe once every 2 months, maybe.
Is it like you're afraid to leave the house? Or you just don't want to leave the house?
I just don't want. I have no reason to. And you know, I live in the Phoenix area, okay?
How about food? I mean, everybody's got to eat, right?
Yeah, well, she goes out and buys food.
She?
Yeah, okay. She. But it just seems like people are nuts. It's just like there's no consequences for anything.
Anymore.
They lie like it's nothing anymore. I mean, I'm not that old.
Right.
It's just like nothing. There's no consequences. I mean, it seems like so many people nowadays want to be like stars if they do something stupid
or they
put it on YouTube. It's like you get a mental case that goes out and shoots a bunch of people and he wants to go out in fashion. So the first thing they do is say, so-and-so did this.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, well, you know, it's just, you know, everything from what we eat to politics, it seems... You know, we've got a front runner that seems self-destructive, saying stupid stuff. And, it just seems out of balance.
Well, maybe we're about to elect somebody who's losing their mind.
Well, you know what? If this person isn't self-destructive like a lot of people are, it seems if he doesn't and he means what he says,
yes.
It's hard to say, but I think maybe that things might go and people will have a different attitude. Seems like people are like hopeless. There's like no consequences. People just do whatever they want and they don't think. They get in a road rage. They don't care. They don't know if the guy's got a gun or, you know, breaking into people's houses when they're home.
Yes. Do you feel mad as hell? And ready not to take it anymore?
Yes, I am mad as hell. And the thing is, you can't do anything because what are you going to do?
I don't know, but I do.
Against the law. Everything's against the law. I mean, it's like, I mean, I feel like an old timer because I remember when you could smoke on a cross country blunt. You know, I tell my daughter, I'm like, I remember when you could light a cigarette on an airplane. No, I don't smoke anymore.
Try it now.
You'd be in prison. But it's like, that's what I'm saying. Everything's backwards. You can't smoke, but you can smoke weed.
Yeah, well,
you know, it's.
Well, yeah, they're liable to shove you out the door at 32,000 feet.
It's, and you got all these special interest groups that get more attention than. Than the majority of the people, it just drives me nuts.
All right, well, you can feel better the same way.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Right, I can't ride my motorcycle.
Say
I'm a biker.
Say it. I'm mad as hell, and I won't take it anymore. You got to say it for it to
I'm
be
a wake benefit. Neighbors, if I say it.
No, really.
I'm mad as hell, and I ain't going to take it anymore.
That's a way to do it. Sir. That's a way to do it. See, you actually feel better when you do that.
Yeah, I just vented a little bit there.
All right. But, well, that's cool.
You know, it just seems like everyday life for me, from what you eat, if this is going to kill you one day, and then the other day it's good for you, or vice versa. You know, I'm a biker. I like to ride my bike.
Well, one day, sir, coffee is good for you. The next day, it's dangerous for you. One day, salt is good for you.
I always thought anxiety... Okay, was some made up thing. Like anxiety, people say, oh, you had anxiety attack, da da da. One day I'm sitting in my chair in my living room, just watching TV.
Yes.
And also my heart starts racing.
Yes.
And I things start getting dark. Okay. And I'm just like, uh oh, what's going on here? I think I'm dying. I'm like, oh, I ate too much pizza last night. I don't know. And I call for my wife and I'm like, Michelle, well, something's going on here. My blood pressure is going through the roof. I feel like I'm fading out here.
Yes.
Well, come to find out, they took me to the ER, and they said, it seems like you had an anxiety attack. I'm like, what is an anxiety? I thought that was made up.
No, it's real. It's real.
I thought it was made up. I couldn't believe what was happening. You know, and they're like, here's some Ativan. Every time you have an attack, you take this.
Oh, boy, pills. I was going to make a fake ad for a pill. I am so sick of these ads on TV. Anybody else agree with that? That makes me mad as hell. These ads for these pills. It's like, then they have to list every possible side effect in the world. Up to and including, you know, melting livers. Death. All of it, right? I kind of feel like advertising a pill. Tired of your friends taking pills, unable to join them in taking a pill? Well, this pill does absolutely nothing, and then lists about every side effect known to humanity, like they do on TV. You almost wonder why they run the commercial. I mean, by the time it's over, you're ready to say, I wouldn't touch that thing, whatever it is, with a 10-foot pole. I mean, it makes whatever it is that I've got that makes me want to take the pill look like nothing compared to what might happen. God, it's awful. All right, where was I? Let's go to the next call. Hello.
Hey, Art, Ed from New Jersey. How you doing tonight?
Ed, it's an interesting night, now that you ask.
Glad to be back on the air with you. I was one of the jurors at the Truth or Trash a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to tell you my shadow person story.
Okay.
Happened back in around this time of year in 2002. I was working shift work at the time, so I'd get home, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know how it is—you can't go right to bed.
No,
I was
up
for a couple of hours before anything. So, anyway, I go to I'm laying in bed watching TV, and I heard this noise out in the living room, and the only way I could describe it is a wet mop slapping against the floor.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds. So I go out, look, nothing there. Go back in bed, watch TV. Hear it a second time a few minutes later. Look over to my left, and I see this, at the time, I see creature, about 7 foot tall, glowing yellow, orangish eyes, top hat, looks like it's wearing a cloak. Thinking I'm seeing things, reach over to the nightstand, turn a light on, well, it's still there. So I felt this sadness and anger coming over me that I couldn't had never felt before. So I like.
And all the time you're feeling this, you're seeing this, whatever in the hell it is?
Yeah. And I reached my hand into it, believe it or not. And I don't know, looking back at it now, I don't know what I was thinking.
Probably trying to reach in and grab its liver and yank it out.
Cold shot of electricity shoot up my arm.
Really?
And then I'm backed away, like it was backing away towards the wall, and it dissipated like smoke would. So pretty freaked out, thinking I was seeing things, talking to my wife, not really telling anybody else. Don't want to be judged, you know.
What did your wife say?
Oh, you're seeing things, you know, you work 12-hour shifts, the light's playing tricks on you. You know, any excuse you could think of.
Of course.
She didn't say it, so she didn't believe me.
Right.
So, you know, fast forward a few months, I would see things out of the corner of my eye, trying to forget about it. And go to that early spring, March, April-ish, and laying in bed again one night watching TV, and I hear a noise in the kitchen. We had just recently got a puppy, so he was in his cage because he still wasn't housebroken yet, and I hear him moving around, so I'm thinking he's making a mess in there. So I get up to go walk in there. What do I see standing in the kitchen?
Oh,
it's
no.
A 7-foot shadow figure.
Yeah.
And it looked up at me. It was looking down at the dog. It looked up at me like it was startled that I saw it.
I've heard that many times about shadow people. They seem startled that we see them.
Yeah, and the dog was actually looking at it, and I was like, I thought I was dreaming. I was like, what is going on here? And then all of a sudden, I got that overwhelming sadness and anger feeling again. And I'm not an overly religious person, but I wear a crucifix around my neck to appease my mother. So I pull it out and I start walking towards it, and I start screaming at it, "You don't belong here. Go back where you're from, you're not welcome," so on and so forth. And as I'm going towards it, it dissipates again like smoke. And freaked me out for a long time. And knock on wood, that was the last time I've ever seen it.
So this thing it's never attacked you?
It never attacked me. And the two times I went towards it, the one to let me put my arm into it, and I felt that cold shot of electricity, and it dissipated. And the second time, it backed away from me as I was going towards it.
Probably thought you were going to reach in them again.
It is. Yeah, and, you know, looking through all the theories over the years, and, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever going to figure out what these things are, but...
I don't either.
Ever since you told your story a few weeks ago, I've been trying to get on to...
I'm glad you made it, because they are so... Whatever they are, they're real. Thank you very much for the call. Look, whatever they are... there is something. It's not nothing. What I saw was real. To my right, to my rear, and to my left. It was absolutely a manifestation, a real manifestation, not a trick of the eye, not a floater in the eye. You know, when you look these things up, they try and tell you what you probably saw. No way. I know what I saw, and it was real. Hard term, hard word to use, real. It was something. I'm not sure how to put this. It was something. Let's go to I'm losing my mind line. Hello? Are you actually losing?
Hello?
Yes, are you losing your mind?
Yeah, like the guy that called earlier, the constant deja vu thing.
Yes.
That started happening to me, like, about 2 months ago. And it, I mean, I got deja vu, just like any normal person my whole life here and there, you know. Every once in a great while, maybe once every couple months or something. But the last about 2 months, it started happening. Like, I was getting it, like, once a week or so. And then it's been increasing and increasing to where it's happening, like, 20 to 30 times a day.
20 or 30 times a day? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you are slipping away.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird. And I went to the doctor and told them about it, and they just kind of laughed at me.
They laughed at
you? I don't know. Yeah, he just kind of filed it under your having anxiety.
about things.
Yeah, exactly.
And he tried to give me Anzac pills.
Ativan again, okay. Well, I don't know what to say about that. There seems to be a tremendous amount of anxiety about deja vu and a lot of pills given out. They give out pills now for everything. Have you noticed? There is a pill. I am not going to go back into that rant again, but I am so sick of those commercials. Hello there. You're on the air. Hello. On Skype.
Oh, is this me?
Oh, well, only you know that for sure, but yes, sounds like
well,
that.
Art, I wanted to ask you if you are like me in the sense that you feel compelled to always sleep with your closet door open.
No. I really, really don't like open closet doors at all. It's bad to leave a closet door open because stuff comes out of them.
Well, it kind of freaks me out to have it closed because I would never know what's in there. But if it's open, I can see that it's empty. And if anything wants to come out, it has to muscle up the cojones to walk past a very nice portrait of Jesus I have hanging on my door.
Well, think of it this way. If it does have the cojones to walk past Jesus, what chance do you have?
Oh, well, now you got me thinking.
Well, am I right? I mean, if it just strolls right, comes out of a darkened closet, you see your clothes part, it walks right past Jesus, you know, you're going to be mush.
Well, I would hope that it was not evil if it could do that.
I hope not too, but anything that comes out of a darkened closet probably has poor intentions.
Well, you're probably right about that.
Mm-hmm. So, good luck with your closet.
Oh, well, thank you, and Roswell's.
Roswell's, thank you. Yes, are you losing your mind? Hello? Going
me?
Yes, you.
Me? No, I'm not losing my mind at all.
Why did you call I'm losing my mind line?
Oh, you know what? I was listening to your show, and I heard your... I wanted to give you a call, and I heard this number, and so I dialed it.
But didn't you hear the other part? I'm losing my mind line number is...
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
You may be losing your mind anyway.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it, you know.
Well,
I was just hoping it was kind of like an open line night.
Well, it is an open line night on every other line. But you've called the I'm losing my... So you're going to have to quickly sound like you're losing your mind or I can't keep you here.
No, I'm not losing my mind. I'm sorry about that, big guy.
Thanks. Thanks for the try and the call. Maybe I'm losing mine. Yeah, the clothes part, it's dark over there, right? The clothes part walks right past Jesus, probably has red eyes, right? And then it's over.
Raging into the night with Midnight in the Desert. To be part of the show, please call 1-952 call Art. That's 1-952-225-5278.
All right, raging into the night indeed, and don't be offended by my bumper music, but Amy, hi there.
Hi there, Art. I had a funny story, and it's regarding the very subject you just mentioned, bumper music.
Oh.
And I had a coincidence. Did you ever have a situation that you're thinking of a song and then it comes on the air?
Oh, yes.
Well, this one gets even better because I was listening to an Elton John song, and it was the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, the one that he did a cover.
Right.
And I said, I'm not really a big fan of covers to my neighbor who was over visiting, but I like this one, and I also like the Bananarama.
Oh, yes.
the Venus song, yes. You know, the Shocking Blue.
Something about that song. I don't know what it is, but I love it.
And that's what came on as the very next song, which is, you know, maybe a 1 in 5,000, 1 in 10,000 chance.
I would say maybe you were reading my mind, Little Miss Hybrid.
Maybe so. And then you know what else happened after that?
You bumped
it twice tonight at the very beginning of the show, that same song.
What I actually did was I played the beginning of it, and then I let 2 minutes of it go, and I played the last part of it. So it would seem complete.
Well, in any event, still, it was just the completed out like that. You know, the chances of that happening within a two-hour span. That's
very small.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
And my whole life is like The X-Files. That's just the beginning, but...
Hey, you know The X-Files. You know The X-Files is coming back, right?
Oh, yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that.
So am I. They should have me on.
I think so. Anyway, I'm Dinah X on Belgad, and I do the arts charts. Well, you have arts parts, and you got arts tarts tonight, and
arts
now you have
tarts.
Arts charts. I keep track of your bumpers.
You know, that actually changed my entire mood when I saw that.
I'm really glad. You didn't look very happy earlier today, as from what you're saying on Facebook.
How happy can you be wandering around cutting wires?
Oh, it's no fun. Dealing with those ISPs, I mean, geez. They give you real vague.
Actually, you know, LV.net is a good one. It really is. It's the only way I can do the show. They bring high-speed, reliable internet, and what happened with that wire was not their fault. It was an external influence.
Or an act of God, as they say.
Well, I wouldn't give it that much credit. That is to say, whoever did that.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome equally, and thank you for calling. And again, no offense from that that particular bumper music. Let's see. Let's just punch next and see what happens. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Sharon calling from Brandon, Manitoba.
Hey, Sharon.
It seems like it's a reunion of the Truth and Trash people. You had a call earlier. Was it from Rob?
Do you know I had a lot of people email me and say, you know, I really liked Sharon. As a judge for Truth or Trash, really.
Oh. Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, you were popular.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better. Well, kind of good. And I just have a couple of questions for you, Art, and a comment, if I can. The first one is kind of off topic, but someone earlier just mentioned deja vu, and I'm just wondering, Art, what is your description of deja vu? Because when it occurs to me, not often, but I don't like the feeling. What is deja vu?
Deja vu is the sudden, intense feeling that you have been here before, or that you have done something before, or that, for example, you walk into a house and you say to yourself, I know I've been here. I know. Maybe in a prior life. Maybe. So that's kind of deja vu.
I don't really like it, but... it doesn't happen that often, but...
Sharon, you want to have some fun?
Okay.
Okay. Since I've got you, I'm going to put you on the line with somebody who believes they're losing their mind. All right?
Okay.
So I'm losing my mind line. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
It's not deja vus that are getting me down. It's these bouja days.
Bouja days.
Yeah, the nagging sense that none of this has ever happened before.
Oh. Sharon, what do you think?
Well, can you repeat what you just said about the reverse of what I've just said?
Wait a minute. Now you're confusing me, and that frustrates me more.
Yeah, but you're losing your mind, so it's not hard to do.
Well, the deal is you know, people have been calling all night, moaning and complaining about deja vus.
Yes.
What about vuja days?
In other words, the feeling that none of this has ever happened before. For you, sir, you should have a sound mind because everything is new.
Well, come on. You try it from inside my head. See, and here's the thing. What is the negative part about losing one's mind? I mean, in my experience, I'm not so much losing my mind as my mind is losing me. Because I'll tell you, the mind will get you into more trouble than that guy over in Switzerland where the ladies are doing weird, kinky things on the first date without even knowing his name.
Yeah, it's very insulting. Do you think there might be some truth to what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, you think so, Sharon?
Yeah, I do. The original reason why I called Art was it's kind of related to some guests that you had, a couple of them. I just love your show because, I laugh, but I also learn a lot of things. And there was one gentleman, I believe it was Father Jack Ashcraft.
Yes.
And the other gentleman was talking about near-death experiences.
Yes.
And what kind of pulled at my heart or just really stuck to me was, one, with Father Jack, as to what's going on in the world right now, he mentioned a kind of a spiritual warfare, and that what really was significant to me was when he said that other beings are not like us, maybe because they're envious or hateful, that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and that is why certain beings or evil hates us so much. And that rang true for me somehow, and I just had never heard that before.
Okay. Well, see, caller, you've never heard any of this, so you truly are losing your mind.
No, and the thing is the Pope was so refreshing. For a solid week now, we've been without Trump.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you very much. He is right about that. Tore Trump right off the screen. Oh, Sharon, you're not going around giving yourself away to every guy like a rock's going to hit the planet tomorrow, are you?
Well, no. I'm just surprised that the people, maybe some people, find life so without meaning or without conscience or I don't know. It's almost like when you were talking earlier, Art, I wanted to say, hey, guys, turn off the TV. Just turn it off. I don't watch TV anymore. And I don't... I started to laugh when you were giving this rant about the medication. That used to drive me nuts.
It drives me insane. I was going to make my own advertisement. A pill that does absolutely nothing but has every side effect up to and including death.
You know, I was thinking this pill, a good pill tonight would be, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to
take
any
more pill. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sharon. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I'm sure this has occurred to some of the rest of you, right, as you watch TV? And CNN has a lot of them. Well, they all do. There's virtually a pill now for everything. But after you've listened to the side effects, do you really want to take that? I don't think so. Chelsea. Let's go to Chelsea and say hello.
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 I know what deja vu is.
Okay.
Or at least I have a theory.
I did not describe it adequately?
Well, it's sort of a metaphysical kind of idea.
Okay.
So let's say that before you're born, if you believe in spirit guides or God or all that kind of stuff, that they lay out kind of a life plan, things you're supposed to learn from life.
Okay.
And you say, okay, so you go down and you get born, you live your life, and you turn left when you should have turned right. You zig when you should zag. And they say, okay, reload your last saved game.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's right. In other words, you did your best, but the monster got you, and so go back to where you were.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, yep.
Do you, you're not running around giving yourself to men, right?
I wish, no.
you wish? You see, there is an edge of that going on here. There really is. I mean...
I think what's happening is...
oh, my God, I just looked at the clock, and it's 11:11.
That's it. Yeah. We're done now.
That's it. Yep.
Well, okay. I guess there's a little of that going on, but you do have to admit some of these people are right. I mean, the world is kind of nuts right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe it's why the Donald is so popular. It really could be it. I haven't paid said a lot about this on the air, but I do wonder about it. The man is... I guess I'd better be careful, because when people say bad things about the Donald, he comes back after him, right?
Well, the thing that concerns me is the bankruptcies. He's declared bankruptcy so many times, it makes you wonder.
Well, he says, though, that they were positive bankruptcies. that he did it at just the right time. He got out of Atlantic City at just the right time. And
sure.
So
well,
he's proud
I'm
of that.
Taking business classes right now, and we just had the CEO of a furniture company come and talk to us about bankruptcies and why you don't want to declare bankruptcy.
No.
And it's just, it's bad for everybody. The people that are lending you supplies and, it doesn't just affect, it's not like the person that, say it's a company and they declare bankruptcy. Well, it's not just them getting away scot-free and everybody's happy. It's
well, a lot of bad things happen when you declare bankruptcy. I mean, people are suddenly out of work, out of jobs. Yeah, maybe you walk away at the right time. But, see, Donald's going to be real upset with me for this. But the fact is that it impacts...
Probably more with me.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for the call. And
thank you, Bart.
And I'm with you all the way.
Yep.
Take care. Let's punch next. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hi. My name's John. I'm a first-time caller.
Yeah. Hey, John.
Hey, I was curious. I heard your show the other night about your experience with a shadow person.
Yes.
And you said it was a terrifying experience.
Absolutely.
And I was curious why you felt it was so terrifying, because I've had numerous experiences with shadow people, and I've never felt any of them to be unsettling. So I was curious why you felt yours was.
Are you kidding? If you see something that's half there and half not there, something that you can look right through, sort of, and that's not terrifying to you?
I've never been... terrified by any of my experiences.
So you're telling me that for you this is the norm?
Not anymore. I haven't had an experience like that probably in 10 years, but for about a 10-year block, I'm 42, so probably from 20 to 30, yes, it was the norm.
Okay, well, I don't want it to get to be the norm for me, and... at my age, it probably wouldn't matter anyway. But I definitely don't want to see it again.
I know on one of your previous shows, you had a man on, I don't remember his name, it was like Stormy Skies or something like that. And he claimed that shadow beings were beings from another dimension who fed on negativity. And you asked, well, does that make them evil? And he said, no, they're no more evil than maggots who feed on dead flesh. It's just negative. And so that made a lot of sense to me, because the times when I was seeing those things, I had a lot of depression in my life.
Uh-huh.
And when I stopped having depression, I stopped seeing them.
What a line. No more evil than maggots that feed on dead flesh.
Well, that's what he said.
Yuck. I don't remember that line. You'd think I would.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my other question was, did you, at that time, were you... stressful about something? Were you anxious? Were you depressed?
You know, that's a pretty good question. No, I don't think so. I was anticipating the beginning of this program, and I was doing research for it. It was before the mm-hmm. show ever started, you
right.
know. So, no, I don't think so. No.
Okay. Well,
so.
That's just why I called. I've had numerous experiences. Let me just share one of them. I lived in Illinois in a 115-year-old house, and I think this might be more of a haunted house experience than a shadow person. But I woke up in the middle of the night to see 6 child-size shadows standing around my bed.
Huh.
And I asked them what they wanted, and they didn't reply. And so I said, again, what do you want? And they just stood there. Mm. No, you know, definition. I couldn't make out any features, just these shadowy images around my bed. And finally, they started to creep me out, so I told them they needed to leave, and they left.
Okay, so it wasn't the norm for you. It creeped you out, you said.
Well, that was the only time that I felt creeped out by it.
Uh-huh, so you picked the only time that you were creeped out to tell me about it.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the call, and should have talked about the times when it was normal, like, yo, shadow person, how you doing? It's not that way at all. You know, I can joke about it maybe now, but at the time, it was absolutely terrifying. I don't back away from that one inch, and if it happened again right now, I would be completely terrified. I mean, you just don't... Well, you don't joke about things like that, for one thing. I don't know what these things are, and I don't know that I want to know. They really are frightening, but I'm trying to keep it lighter than that tonight. Vancouver, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Howard. It's good to finally talk to you.
Thank you.
I had a little experience. This is open line night.
It is.
So I wanted to tell you about a little experience I had. What brought this to mind was this fellow you had on several weeks ago that was talking about the disappearances in national forests.
Oh, yes.
Things of this nature. Well, I had something really odd happen to me back when I was a kid. I think I'm probably pretty close to your age. And if you remember back in the 1950s, they used to sell these little balsa wood airplanes. You know, you could think you could buy them for a dime, you know, and you could, or they're little gliders is what they were.
I recall.
Okay, and I had one of these, and we had a pretty large backyard, and it was a summer day. I was having a good time tossing this thing around, and I gave it a toss, and it made a big circle and landed out in the grass right behind a small clump of weeds out there,
mm-hmm.
about 20 feet away, and I just made a beeline right for it, ran over there, wasn't there. I must have spent the better part of an hour out there just scouring every square inch ground.
So, in other words, it
was gone.
It was gone.
I never saw it again. And that was 60 years ago, approximately, and it just brought that to mind.
Well, you know, about that long ago, I was having a picnic with my family. I was young then. We were just sitting there enjoying sandwiches at the beach, and a plane just like that landed right in the middle of our picnic.
Oh, well, maybe that's where it went.
Just kidding, actually. I thought I'd see if I could capture the story a little bit.
By the way, I have a title for your Out of Your Mind line tonight.
Yes.
Just call it, We're All Here Because We're Not All There.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. Yeah, I'm losing my mind line. Let me give that out again. 575. Been full all night. Figures, right? 575-208-7787. Let's go to Australia, and I know who this is. Jasmunda, hi.
Hey, Art, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
That's great. I just wanted to give a plug to your new YouTube channel.
Oh.
I do have a new YouTube.
The things you're going to see on that channel, I'm telling you, I hope you don't blush.
It's youtube.com/C/ArtBell51.
You think people are really going to remember that?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. So everybody's rushing for a pen. And oh, the things that you're going to see there, folks. Give it one more time.
It's youtube.com/C/ArtBell51.
Actually, there are some pretty cool things, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Some great content on there. We'll be adding to it all the time. And, yeah, if you can subscribe to it, hit like, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Well, I actually subscribed myself. You sent me the link the other day, and I subscribed myself. It took me about a half an hour to find my stupid Google password. Thanks, Jazz.
No problem.
Take care. Yes. How many of you have that problem? That's another thing that'll make you mad as hell. That's passwords. I mean, really, folks, it can get brutal. It can get really, really brutal. In this modern day and age, you have to remember passwords for everything. And then, embarrassingly, when you don't, you have to click on Forgot Password. Then you have to run to some old mailbox that you had and pray and hope that it's there. And then, of course, you'll forget it again. Unless you're like my wife and that she has a little book full of passwords. That's really the way to do it. Okay. Somebody who dubs himself Quake Guy and looks like a dog. Hello there.
Hey there.
Hi there. Back away from your mic a little bit. You're pretty loud.
Sorry about that. It seems to happen every time. A little bit better now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's been quite an interesting night, hasn't it, bud? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I wanted to mention a couple guests ago, somebody brought up the concept of souls and how souls are special.
Yes.
And instantly made me think about that other night that I called in when you had that witch on, who was definitely 100% bona fide witch.
Oh, she definitely was, yes.
And the whole concept of souls being special and how souls are rare made me start to think about, you know, how there's 7 billion people in the world.
Almost.
Populations continuing to climb. Yeah. And just more and more youth these days, and I say youth.
Maybe it's actually, sir, maybe it's cheapening souls. The fact that there are 7 billion almost, doesn't that somewhat cheapen the whole thing?
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to ask you, Art.
Okay.
I was sort of wondering if souls are so rare and they're so special, and maybe if reincarnation does exist, if that sort of thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
All the evil people in the world, all this younger generation that doesn't want to learn anything, and it all comes to them through the internet, and so they fill their minds with just the most base desires, and I'm hearing more and more of just the most awful crimes happening in the world, and I just want to get your opinion on that. If we've run out of souls, and so all these soulless people running around is just going to keep climbing and climbing and climbing.
Pretty good theory. When do you think we actually ran out of souls?
I would probably say, I might get a lot of flack for this because of the age of your listeners. I'd probably say around the end of the Second World War.
So, about the time I was born, actually.
Right around there, you might be right off the cusp there, or you got lucky.
I'm on the cusp, no question. June 17th, 1945, so really close to the end of the war. I mean, you know, the atomic bomb came in July.
Yes.
Right? So.
August, I believe. August 6th and August 8th.
Was it? Okay. And so in June, I was just before the end of the war.
Wow, that's quite the time to be born, actually.
Mm.
Very interesting. My great-grandfather just passed, and he attended the 1936 Nazi Olympics.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have pictures of them in the stands and stuff.
So in other words, past about that date, it's been a bunch of soulless people being born, and we are now bearing the brunt of that.
Well, so many people died during the war, right? And,
oh, yes.
And then so many others came afterwards with the great baby boom, and somewhere along the way, I just think that there's just not enough souls for all the bodies going around. And
so as you look out over crowds of young people now, you see them as a bunch of soulless, I don't know what to call them.
I see in some youth, not all of them, definitely not the majority anymore, but I see in some youth, I see the look in their eyes where they have an old soul, you know, where they look, but they also see. They're not just looking and passing and then forgetting like a goldfish 10 seconds later. They're actually paying attention. They have that that spark. That's the only way I can describe it, that spark. And I know that they're going to be all right, and hopefully they're the ones that become the politicians and not the ones with the 10-second span and the bad souls.
But how many of them these days look like, well, goldfish? Goldfish on it.
Well, I'm a halfway to the next cup kind of guy instead of a glass half empty, glass half full. So,
all right, thank you very much for the call. Take care, Michael. Somewhere outside the country. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Michael in England.
Yes. How's everything in jolly old?
It is wonderful. Actually, we have a beautiful morning here, and it's lovely to speak to you at a time when I'm awake, which is fabulous.
Well, yes. What time is it actually there?
It is 7:30.
Okay, so the sun is new in the sky.
It is new in the sky, and it's gorgeous. I'm looking out over the River Thames, and it looks wonderful.
Sounds nice. What's up?
It is indeed. I was reflecting on Dr. Long, who you had on the other day.
Yes.
Regarding near-death experiences. And
yes.
I had an experience some 20-odd years ago where I left my body and very convincingly looked down on myself, and I was continuing to dance like a madman.
Was it a near-death experience, or is it just...
It wasn't a near-death experience, but I'm wondering, because at the time I was under the effects of ecstasy in a kind of rave club.
Oh.
And it was a completely convincing experience. I could see myself still talking to my friends, still dancing, being, you know, quite lucid.
Really?
But from the ceiling. And this was chemical. I don't think it was anything spiritual or kind of important at any, you know, higher level. But it was completely convincing, and it was very enduring. It probably lasted for a few minutes.
So here you were in a club, something going on in the
mind chemically.
Partying it up, and you went to the ceiling, saw yourself on the floor, dancing.
Yep, dancing like a madman to what was at the time incredibly hard jungle music.
Hard jungle music. Okay, so what did it feel like to be out of your body?
It felt extraordinary. It felt wonderful. And it didn't feel frightening or jarring or kind of unnerving. It just felt under control.
Under control.
Yeah.
And all right, this is for you then, okay?
All right, thanks, Art.
All right, you have a good one. In jolly old. Open lines, what can I say? It all comes. I'm Art Bell. Somebody sent me a wormhole message. I be careful how I say that. My pill, they say, should be called Damitol.
Want to take a ride from the high desert and the great American Southwest? This is Midnight in the Desert, exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
Open lines. Actually, anything goes. I do have I'm Losing My Mind line, which is area code 575-208-7787. Going to that line, you are on the air. Hello?
Daniel Campbell, too bad.
Art?
Yes.
This is Michael.
Hello, Michael. Are you losing your mind?
Yes, I am.
Are you far along in the process?
So I already lost my mind. I was trying to follow your conversation from one of your guests or your callers earlier.
Yes.
And I was following along, and then the conversation, you started talking about things. I kept saying, what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't hear what the other person said.
Really?
And I was trying to follow your conversation, and pretty soon I was like, I'm losing my mind trying to follow what you said. That what were you talking about, the virgins?
The Vestal virgins, yes.
What was that about?
What was it about? It was just sort of something somebody said to cheer me up, that's all.
Oh, okay.
It was probably just the word virgin that caught your attention.
Well, I definitely lost my mind, but I think you brought it back. Can I ask you a question?
Well, no. If you return to common sense and mental health, then you don't belong on this line. Sorry. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Millie. Hi. I'm Millie, and I'm in Central Arkansas.
Okay.
And I got two quick stories for you tonight.
Okay.
We're talking about the shadow people.
Yes.
And I saw one once. It was during the day. We were hiking up the Finger Rock Trail outside of Tucson.
Yes.
And it was just me, my husband, and a friend. And we were coming down the hill, down the trail. And I was next to our friend, and my husband was way ahead of us. He was running down the hill. And my friend says, "Whoa, look at that." And we stopped and we looked, and it was a shadow person.
Now, you're telling me three of you saw the shadow person?
No, just me and the friend. My husband never gets to see things like this.
All right. Well, anyway, it was two people, two witnesses, right?
Just me and a friend, yes.
Okay.
Two of us.
All right.
And he said, "Look at this." And we stopped and we looked, and the thing was running alongside of us, but it was up on the side of the hill. And it was in a terrain where there's no way it could be running, because there were rocks and cactus and things, but it was running along, and when we stopped, it stopped.
Well, you know, this is how people disappear in national parks, too.
I know. And it knelt down. It kind of scooped down, like it thought maybe if it scooped lower, we wouldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I've seen these before." And I said, "Man, I'm out of here." And we just started running down the hill, and I'm calling for my husband.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It's terrifying.
It is. And I honestly believe that these things follow certain people, that, like our friend, Mike, he'd seen these before, and I've never seen them before, and I've never seen them since. I just saw that one that day.
Is Mike still alive?
I'm not sure. We're not living in Tucson anymore, and
uh-huh.
I kind of lost track of him.
Well,
he got a divorce, and things happened. And,
yeah, see?
But,
life
you know,
just
and,
went...
yeah, you never know.
No, you never know, indeed. Don't go to Alaska.
Yeah. And then I've seen a UFO. My husband and I were in a park in Tucson. This is both in Tucson. And we were kind of in an argument. Things had happened. My grandfather had passed away. And we were taking care of my grandma, and she was a handful. And we were kind of arguing, and his back was to it. He was kind of laying back on his elbow. And I was sitting Indian style in the park,
yes.
And I was talking. And I look up, and it was huge. Honest, it had to take up two blocks worth in the sky. And it was really low. It was like hovering right over where my grandma's house was, basically. But, I mean, it would take up the whole two-block radius. It was silver, and it had, like, black. You could see windows in it.
You know, I never know what to say to people like you. Welcome to the club. I mean... almost everybody you talk to has seen a UFO.
Yeah, now here's the kicker, okay? I wanted to show him because he's always wanted to see stuff. He always misses. My husband always misses these things.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know how they say that they kind of mess with your mind?
Yes.
Well, I just got this terrified feeling. I was numb. I was almost paralyzed. I couldn't talk. And I could hear it telling me that if you tell him, your life, as you know it, will be shattered.
Oh.
And I didn't know what to think of it, so I didn't tell him. And I looked down, and he was talking. So I looked down and talked to him for a couple seconds, and I looked back up. It was still there. I looked down, talked to him for a couple more seconds, looked back up. I did that about three times, and it finally left.
Well, good thing you didn't mention
didn't
it, Joe. Otherwise, you'd be calling me on I'm losing my lost my mind.
Well, I would have already lost it.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. There are certain people who, you know, see things that others don't. And there are really certain people, like her husband, that simply never see anything unusual. Now, that's almost worth a discussion in itself, isn't it? What is it about people that see things that others scoff and laugh about? just more sensitive than other people? More open to that sort of thing? Or maybe they think about it to the point that they actually bring it on. Dale, on Skype, you're on the air. Hello? Dale, it's your turn. Going once. Going twice, Dale. Gone. All that waiting, and Dale didn't make it. So let's give Brian a chance on Skype. Hi, Brian. You're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you doing? First-time caller here.
Oh, welcome.
I'm from Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
I just had a experience I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
Let's see. It was Labor Day weekend. I went up to Seagreves National Forest, the Mogollon Rim.
Mm-hmm.
And, sorry, a little nervous. Never called in before.
Deep breath.
And, let's see.
Stop.
I knew it was going to be
stop,
busy.
Stop. Deep breath. Just take a deep breath and slow down.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
All right. So I knew it was going to be busy on Labor Day weekend, so I took this kind of like an access road. It was just, it was unmarked road.
Right.
I went about a mile and set up camp. It was the middle of the day. And I went out exploring in all directions. There was like nobody around.
Mm.
So nighttime hits. It was probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I see these flashes of light start appearing in the forest. You know, it was like maybe 20 feet up in the trees. It would be white.
Sounding like Rendlesham, actually.
Yeah, this is up kind of where Travis Walton was abducted in that area.
Oh, Smoke Lake, yes.
So, and you know, it would be like white lights and then an orange light and 20 feet up and then ground level. It would go on for like 20 minutes in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would stop. And, you know, about a half hour would go by, and it would start again. Well, I had my phone with me. I didn't have a gun or anything, no GPS, you know. And when I got back, I heard the story about people disappearing in the national forest. I mean, I wish I would have known that when I went, but...
Sure.
I think the only reason I'm here is because when I went, and I usually do periscopes of everything from Disneyland to, like, paranormal stuff. So I had a lot of followers, so I just started periscoping the whole event while it was going on. And it had like 300 people watching this, and they were like, I don't know what that is, and I've never seen anything like that. So It was really weird, and I think that if I wouldn't have had some type of filming going on or people witnessing it, I think it probably, maybe I wouldn't be here. I don't know. It was really odd. There was no sounds.
So in a way, Periscope saved your life.
Well, maybe. But luckily I actually had it saved and I put it on YouTube, so I don't know if anybody's ever experienced anything like that before that was just really weird.
It does seem that cameras seem to dissuade things from occurring and animals from appearing and Bigfoot and all kinds and UFOs and all kinds of things. So if faced with something scary, pull out a camera.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
So it's on Tell Me About It, if anybody wants to look it up on YouTube. But it's really, it's crazy, and I don't know how to explain it or what it was. But.
Well, you did well, and by the way, when you took a deep breath, your voice went down a full octave. Thanks for the call. And in Toronto, Ontario, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
You know, I just want to say great programming this summer.
Oh, thank you.
It's been absolutely fantastic. What a way to end the summer last night, too, with the doctor. But I'm calling more about Peter Davenport that you had on a couple of weeks ago. I'm originally from Kingston, Ontario. I live in Toronto now. But he was talking about an event that happened in August 1995.
Yes.
Over Ontario. And I saw that object, and I wanted to add to that story. Would you like to hear about it?
I would, and I'm sure Peter would, too.
Me and Johnny and Petrina were sitting in Tim Hortons rather late one night having a coffee. Our table was facing northwest, and we're kind of kitty corner to the coffee shop. Johnny is out the looking out the right window. I'm looking out the left. Johnny says, "What is that?"
Uh-huh.
And he sees. I look out the left window. And I saw this giant white flickering fireball pass over top of the intersection in Kingston, right at Bath and Gardner's, right over top of the plaza next door. You know.
All right, so it was like, was this like something entering the atmosphere, or was it like a craft?
This was low. It was low art, and it was fast. And it wasn't entering. It was it already entered. We didn't see it enter.
Gotcha.
It was super low. I mean, I figure it was about maybe 250 feet off the ground. It was huge, and it was this bright flickering light, long orange fiery tail, and I saw it pass our field of vision out the window in about like 3 seconds. We ran outside. We grabbed our coffees. We ran outside. We jumped in my mom's car. And it was so low that we thought that it hit in Kingston. We thought that it hit in the field south of the plaza. So we drove around the bend. We went down south. We're like driving slow, trying to see what we could see, and there was nothing. So we kept driving. We ended up heading kind of west along the lake there. Kingston, Ontario is on the east side of Lake Ontario.
Yes, sir.
And right at the mouth of the St. Lawrence. We ended up out near the airport there. Very little light pollution out there at that time. And, you know, we actually ended up getting out of the car because somebody saw it first. I can't remember who, but we ended up on this road in the middle of nowhere looking up, not a cloud in the sky. And there was this green glowing dust or shimmering light end to end, you know, the canopy of the sky and the stars. It was just, it almost looked like the northern lights, but it was like a dust. It was almost like a Hubble space photograph.
Pretty
it was
weird.
And we stood there, and it was you know, glowing green, shimmering light that was just spreading out over the entirety of the sky over Kingston over the course of about an hour. And it was just, Peter was saying on the air that it was such a dramatic event, and it really was. I mean, me and Johnny talked about it often.
It was like a sort of an extraterrestrial chemtrail.
Yes. And I was texting with Johnny last week. I said, do you think, because my jaw hit the floor. I was listening to you interview Peter the next day on the podcast, and my jaw hit the floor when he started talking about this, because we saw it, and we've often talked about it. And, you know, I wonder... It was in the newspaper too, and they were saying it was debris left by the meteor.
Yeah.
And they were saying in the newspaper, in the Kingston Week Standard, it was saying that it hit in Pennsylvania. But the interesting thing, Peter was saying that there was a news crew that caught it east of Hamilton. And the thing is, if you draw a straight line from Kingston, like east of Hamilton, you know, you end up more in Ohio than you end up in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And you know, he was talking about Erie. And he was talking about the town of Niles, and he was talking about Adamsville, where this woman saw this object hanging over her backyard for 5 minutes, that or somewhere around that what he thinks is that evening.
Well, and, listen, I appreciate your story, and it does sound exactly like what Peter was talking about, but you were one heck of a lot, excuse me, closer than the others that he described. My goodness gracious. Can you imagine... Can you imagine going through an experience like that and watching this green, weird, misty stuff kind of settling down on you outside the country? You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I do indeed. Where are you?
Awesome. I'm in Canada. I'm Canada. So glad to make it on. How are you?
Well, see, this line is not really for you, sir.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right. I've got to adhere to the rules. You're in North America, and so actually you want to call MITD 51. Those outside North America call MITD 55. Hello, Joe. On Skype, Joe. Going once.
Hello.
Hello.
Is that me?
Yes, it is, Joe. You weren't being attentive.
Okay.
Very quickly, because my program is ending.
Okay, I've got a quick one for the atheist that called in the other night.
And that would be what?
No matter what direction they look, the edge of the universe is about 13.7 billion light years.
I thought it was more like 15, but okay.
Yeah, well, you
somewhere
know.
In there, yes.
And so if that's true, then Earth has to be at the very center of the universe. And the Big Bang could never have happened because it would have happened here.
Well, so you think we're at the exact center, in other words, the point of the Big Bang, essentially.
Yeah, we'd mm-hmm. have to be. If the edge of the universe is, you know, the same direction, no matter which direction you look.
Don't you think that's sort of, I don't know, egotistical of us to believe that we're the center of everything?
Yeah, but I'm just speaking scientifically.
Well, I'm not sure about that. But I mean, yeah, well, even, you know even I mean. To think it, that we are the center of everything in the universe. My goodness. I thought we were kind of actually on the outskirts, you know, like suburban.
Well, I don't know how we could be if every direction we look, it's the same distance to the edge of the universe.
Maybe that's all we can see. We can only see out that
right.
far. I get your point, though.
Right.
All right, and it's the last point that's going to get made. So thank you very, very much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Right, take care. And that's it, folks. Amazing. Open lines. We'll do it again. We'll be back Monday to do it all again. Hopefully, it will not be a night of invasion. Or Dr. Jake's correct, I guess, will, because it's ongoing. Good night from the high desert.
Midnight in the desert, and there's wisdom in the air. I've been looking.